Welcome to The Deep Dive, a deeper look at sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church.
We have been handed a really powerful stack of teachings today. It's all focused on building a durable spiritual foundation for the new year.
Right.
Our listeners shared two core messages from Pastor Tim Travis. The first is called How to Begin the New Year, and it draws heavily from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3.
Okay.
And the second one, My Heart is Fixed, part 1, takes us into, well, the almost desperate stability of King David in Psalm 57.
So our mission really is to see how these two different approaches fit together. We're tackling some pretty radical demands of the spiritual life. I mean, how do we adopt Paul's aggressive forward focus?
The kind where earthly success and, you know, all your personal achievements are counted as, well, as nothing more than loss.
Exactly. And then how does that drive connect with this deep internal stability? You have King David hiding in a dark, cold cave.
Literally waiting for his enemy Saul to find and kill him. And yet he says with total confidence, my heart is fixed.
That idea that you can have this radical movement and radical stability at the same time, that feels like the foundation for any real change this year.
It really is.
Absolutely. So before we jump in, just a quick reminder that you can find these full sermons and a lot more from Pastor Tim Travis on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Just visit the website faithwayfbc.com for more information.
All right, let's start with Paul, Philippians 3, this forward momentum.
What's so amazing here is that Paul, who had, I mean, probably the highest spiritual resume of anyone at the time.
Well, for sure. A Pharisee, trained by Gamaliel, a Roman citizen.
The list goes on.
And he starts by saying he has not already attained or is already perfect.
And that confession is really our starting gate for the new year. If the super Christian, the Apostle Paul himself, admits he hasn't arrived, well, it just dismantles the whole idea that we can rest on past spiritual victories.
It means we have to acknowledge there is always more to do. Growth isn't a destination you reached last year.
It's a constant, present thing. But the truly radical part is his declaration that all his former accomplishments, everything that gave him status, he counts it all as dung or refuse just so he can know Christ.
Exactly. And Pastor Tim Travis really emphasizes the gravity of that choice.
Uh-huh.
Paul wasn't just giving up small things.
No.
He was sacrificing his status, his career, his privileged identity. He didn't just see his old self-righteousness as worthless. He saw it as a negative asset, something that was actively getting in the way of his relationship with Christ.
Wow. Okay, so if we adopt that mindset, where does that energy go? Paul says he presses toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. And Pastor Tim Travis organizes this into 5 really powerful goals.
And they're defined as noble, realistic, and attainable, which, you know, removes the excuse of failure right from the start.
So what's the first goal?
The first goal is key. To know Christ to the fullest. And this is about experiential knowledge, not just, you know, educational knowledge you get from a book.
So knowing him in the boardroom, in an argument with a neighbor.
In the quiet of a trial, yeah. Experiencing his comfort and power in every single valley.
And that experience, that leads to the second goal, resting only in the righteousness of Christ.
This is where we stop relying on our own good deeds. You know, being a good spouse, a dedicated volunteer, that's all great human behavior. But if it becomes the foundation of your spiritual confidence, it's actually replacing God's righteousness.
That's a critical distinction. And that reliance on Christ then fuels the third goal, right? Knowing the power of the resurrection.
Which means transformation. It's not enough to just be saved from hell. The resurrection brings hope and life that demands action. We shouldn't just sit and sulk in our failures. We should be motivated to do something for Christ.
And the final two goals are about our relationships. Goal 4 is knowing the fellowship of his sufferings.
Right. True. Deep fellowship is built on shared identity, shared experience. It goes way beyond superficial connections.
And then goal 5, preparing for a good resurrection. Striving now so that one day we can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
And if you boil all 5 of those down, they feed into Paul's simple focus. This one thing I do, it requires making the person of Christ supreme, first place.
Which brings up a really challenging part of the teaching. The words Christ used in Luke, telling us to prioritize him above father, mother, wife, children, even our own life. I mean, how do we apply that without becoming negligent or alienating our family?
That's a necessary clarification.
Yeah.
Pastor Tim Travis wasn't advocating for, you know, actual hatred or abandoning your family. It's about comparative devotion.
Right.
When Christ has our highest attention, everything else, family, work, finances, it all falls into its proper, healthy place. You actually serve your family better when Christ is your ultimate priority.
And this kind of focus demands diligence. Paul says, I do, present tense, not I planned to do.
Or I did last year. Laziness guarantees defeat, but that diligent labor. He even talks about working hard with your hands so you have something extra to give that always ensures God's blessing.
And Paul links all this to forgetting the past. He says he forgets what's behind and reaches for what is before.
It's impossible to press forward if you're constantly looking in the rearview mirror, right? Fixating on past mistakes or even past glories. It just pulls you crooked. You can't see the mark ahead.
That intensity, it needs discipline. And discipline starts with simple, realistic commitments, which I think brings us to a very practical part of what Pastor Team Travis taught, Daniel's formula for resolutions.
Yes, this section is so key for anyone trying to apply Paul's big picture goals. Daniel faced a specific threat to his purity, the king's rich food and wine, which was likely offered to pagan gods.
And he decided not to compromise. So what was his simple formula for actually succeeding?
It breaks down into three actionable steps. First, he proposed in his heart, he sought the Lord, and he made a firm internal decision. This isn't a casual wish.
It's a real commitment.
It's a commitment. Second, he sought help from others. He went to the authority figure, the prince of the eunuchs, and asked for permission for an alternative. He didn't just secretly disobey. He sought accountability.
That part about seeking help is so relevant. I mean, if the king's meat back then was pagan food, what's our modern king's meat? The things that subtly defile us?
It's often the constant consumption of media or spending habits or just dedicating our time to things that pull our focus away from Christ.
And who's our modern prince of the eunuchs?
That's our accountability. A trusted mentor, a spiritual leader, a good friend who has the authority to challenge our decisions, who we allow to speak into our lives. We need that external check.
So true. And the final step for Daniel.
He just kept moving toward the goal. He started in the right direction and trusted God to enable him. He didn't wait until he felt powerful enough. He trusted God would meet him in the momentum.
Which brings us back to Pastor Tim Travis's warning about goal setting. Goals have to be realistic.
Yes. If you set a massive, impossible goal like memorizing all of Philippians in a month, you give yourself an easy out when you fail. You can just say, oh, it was too hard.
Right. But if you set a realistic goal, maybe 4 or 5 verses a week, and you fail that simple commitment, then you have to face the real issue. It's not capacity, it's diligence. Realistic goals build the discipline you need for Paul's forward press.
Okay, so now we transition from the radical action of Paul to the radical stability of David in Psalm 57. The timing here is just, it's vital. David is hiding in a dark, damp cave.
In En-Gedi, with Saul and his men literally searching for him, he's waiting for death, surrounded by complete chaos.
The contrast is just jarring. In the middle of all that turmoil, he says, my heart is fixed. This is about profound emotional stability, which is such a powerful counter-narrative to the anxiety and stress that's so common today.
Pastor Tim Travis had that great analogy about focus. If you're digging a trench or plowing a field and you keep looking back to admire your work,
you inevitably start going crooked. To keep a straight line, you have to fix your eyes on something straight ahead.
So the question for you listening is, what are you fixed on? Is it the 401k? Is it politics? Is it your career? David reminds us that a heart fixed only on Jesus Christ is the only source of stability when the world is in crisis.
And this fixed heart, it requires a faith that's more than just a cliche. It's an authentic commitment. What Pastor Tim Travis calls going all in.
Jumping in with both feet.
David showed this faith for relief. My soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast.
That focus has to start with the request, with prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God.
God already knows everything, but prayer helps us. It aligns our scattered hearts to his will, and it forces us to show complete dependence.
And that means supplication, right? Moving past the general prayers like, bless my family.
To specific targeted requests, praying for a neighbor's salvation or for a specific trial your spouse is facing.
And we have to be genuine. David repeated his request. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. This isn't an empty ritual.
No, it's the desperation of the tax collector in Luke, the publican, who couldn't even look up to heaven and just kept repeating, God be merciful to me, a sinner. It's that humble, genuine dependence that fixes the heart.
And this is only possible because Christianity gives us direct access to the source. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We have to rely on him exclusively.
You know, for so many people today, their emotional release valves, whether it's checking the bank account or turning to a bottle or pills or porn, they're real coping mechanisms.
Or feel like they work in the moment.
Yes, they do. And the challenge here is substituting that quick self-administered fix with a deeper, more demanding reliance on Christ. It's replacing a temporary solution with an eternal one.
David found his refuge in the shadow of thy wings. I love that imagery. To cast a shadow, you have to be close to the light.
You do. And the absolute confidence comes from that key word, until. He knew his problems were punctual. They had an end date. God's providential care had an expiration date stamped on his current calamity.
And that gave him the internal resolve based on past victories. He remembered the lion, the bear, Goliath.
And he knew that the enemy in front of him now, Saul, was no match for God today. That's a warning for us, right? Don't forget the vows you made to God during your last big trial.
And don't rush the process. Pastor Tim Travis used that analogy of the boy who cuts the cocoon and the butterfly dies because it needed the struggle to develop.
God has us right where we are for a purpose. The pain of the process often provides the strength we need for what's next. We have to wait until the calamities are overpassed.
So to maintain that fixed heart while you're pressing forward, personal responsibility for purity is just, it's non-negotiable. 2 Corinthians makes spiritual health our personal duty. And we have to recognize that sin isn't just a past event, it's a present problem.
And we have profound control over our minds. We can't stop, you know, buzzards flying over, as Pastor Tim Travis put it, but we absolutely choose whether we let them land and make a nest.
We have to refuse to dwell on filth and choose to think on things that are true and honest and just and pure.
That warning in Psalm 101, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, it's timeless. Back then it was idol worship or brothels. Today it's the screens we consume.
And a pure spirit is essential. Laying aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and desiring the sincere milk of the word. Reading the Bible is a guarantee for spiritual growth. It's the antidote.
But when you commit to living this way, with this radical purity and focus, you have to know that opposition is absolutely inevitable. David calls his enemies lions.
And these lions, they roar and rage, they pace and threaten, just like the devil in 1 Peter. But they're often ineffective on their own.
And David notes their weapons are for distance. Their teeth are like spears and arrows. Enemies, naysayers, gossips. They rarely confront you directly. They shoot arrows and talk trash from afar because they're cowards.
And their tongue is a sharp sword.
But we have to remember, we have the sword, the two-edged sword of the Word of God, which is effective up close.
So if you live for God, you will have enemies. But God only allows them to go so far. A true spiritual leader trusts his back to God and focuses forward, letting God handle what's behind him.
And the ultimate lesson from David in that cave is this. He feared overstepping God's will more than he feared being killed by Saul. That unwavering dedication, that's the sign of a truly fixed heart.
So to bring this deep dive together, the new year really requires a dual focus drawn from Pastor Tim Travis's teachings. First, we need Paul's diligence and focus, setting high, attainable goals that are centered entirely on Christ's supremacy.
And second, we need David's radical, tested stability, a heart that is fixed on God's providential timing and his ultimate control, no matter what chaos is surrounding us.
And as you set those goals, remember that practical advice. Make your goals SMART. Be serious, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timed.
And once again, you can find the full sermons and much more from Pastor Tim Travis on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. You can find more information at faithwayfpc.com.
And we'll leave you with this final thought for the year ahead. David feared operating outside of God's will more than he feared death itself. So what is the greatest fear controlling your focus this year? Is it fear of the physical world, of loss, or of what people think? Or is it the fear of stepping outside of God's perfect will? That distinction determines whether your heart is truly fixed.